The Fox.
The Fox.
Hey, have you checked out our website, 98.7thefox.com, our online home for everything The Fox. Click the stream link wherever you are. Information on Let's Talk with recordings from recent shows and interviews. Information on our afternoon regional sports programs and links to all of the great Fox Sports shows heard the rest of the day. Check out our Let's Talk blog posts, local high school sports scores, and links to several area news outlets so you're always in the know. 98.7thefox.com.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Don't know what to get that special loved one? How about a relaxing getaway for two to the Keller House Bed and Breakfast? Comfy quarters and memorable mornings await you and your loved one with a romantic getaway to Center Hall, just minutes from Penn State and Penn's Cave. Relax, refresh, and recharge with a getaway to the Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Make a reservation now by calling 814-364-2225. That's the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall.
WFXX. Once again,
The Fox.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7. The Fox State College. Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys. 98.7. The Fox.
Frosty the Snowman.
Good old Frosty. We watched that last night, actually.
I like Frosties. You know, I eat those.
Oh, I
Frosties.
Do love a good Frosty.
Yeah, oh, this is a different Frosty.
I like both.
I don't think you're going to have the other Frosty for a while.
I don't like the peppermint Frosty, I got to tell you.
Okay, no, chocolate. Chocolate.
I'm not a peppermint guy. Everybody else in my family loves the peppermint.
All right.
I'm like, I can do without it.
I think everybody knows by now, no white Christmas, not here, sorry. A white New Year's, maybe, I don't know. But the good news is, if there's no white Christmas, the roads hopefully are doing just fine. Okay, we don't have to worry about that stuff. Oh, yeah, roads. Let's talk about that.
Hey, good idea. What?
Everybody,
look at that segue.
Now, we mentioned, you know, in the last hour, everybody and their uncle listening here is very curious about the Route 322 project that I call the Big Kahuna between Ballsburg and Potter's Mills. Okay. And so decisions are going to get made in the coming year. And somebody else is trying to call in with our guest, which is not a good thing, but thank you anyway. So we're going to talk about the Route 322 project. Like, what, where did this come from? Where is it right now? Where is it going? And so on. And so we're joined by Eric Murniak, who is the Assistant District Executive for Design with PennDOT. And Mr. Murniak, first off, welcome to the program. We appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Is it okay if we call you Eric?
Eric is fine.
Perfect. All right, that's great. That's a big title. Assistant District Executive for Design. Okay. We always like to start...
Just shorten it up to ADE is fine.
We always like to start with just a sort of a background question. So if you would, tell us something about yourself, your background, maybe expertise and so on. And if I'm correct, you're in the Clearfield office, which covers our, you know, Center County, our neck of the woods. So tell us about yourself and maybe tell us about your office, like where you folks have your particular jurisdiction.
Okay, so myself, Eric, I live in Center County, so I'm a Center County resident.
Oh,
been Center County resident pretty much my whole life. But our district office is in Clearfield, right off the exit. And we cover nine counties, Potter, McKean, Cameron, Elk, Clearfield, Center, Clinton, Juniata, and Mifflin. And in those counties, there's almost 2,200 bridges and a little over 3,700 miles of roadway.
Wait, whoa. 2,200 bridges?
Yeah, there's 2,188 to be exact.
Holy,
in District 2, in our nine counties.
In just nine counties? Oh, my gosh. Now, okay, here's a dumb question. What's the definition of a bridge? So, in other words, if I have a little trickle of water with a road and somebody puts something over it, is that a bridge? I mean, what's a bridge in this case?
In our case, it's anything that's 8 foot wide and wider. So anything under 8 foot in our jurisdiction is considered a pipe.
Holy mackerel, that's a lot of bridges.
That is a lot of bridges.
I had, and that's only, Eric, do you have any idea for the, I mean, I remember, you know, in recent times we've had arguments about funding for roads and bridges and all this sort of stuff, and we're looking statewide, like for all of Pennsylvania. You have any idea how many bridges are there in Pennsylvania then? If we have 2,200 in just 9 counties, I can't imagine. How many?
I did not pull that up to talk about it today.
I mean, that must be a mammoth number.
Way over 2,200.
Holy mackerel.
It's a big number. I'm looking now.
I had absolutely no idea on that. Wow.
Yeah.
Whoosh. Okay.
Okay, statewide, there's a little over 25,000 bridges.
No kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now I can understand about the issues with funding for roads and bridges. 25,000 bridges. Wow. All right, well, let's talk about this project, which, again, anybody in State College going to Lewistown, Harrisburg, and, of course, all that fun Penn State football traffic coming up in the other direction and trucks and all this sort of stuff, this project is pretty big. And now, first, Eric, if I'm understanding correctly, the final decision on where this new road is going to go is going to be in the coming year. Am I right on that now?
Well, we're hoping that we can get to the final decision sometime this year, but it could take as long as into 2025.
No offense, there's my reaction. Because obviously, well, you know, a lot of us have been waiting for this new road seemingly forever. Let's get a little background on the entire project. Now, this is Scott. I remember I went to an open house. It was at the Center Hall Fire Company. Gosh, I'm trying to remember when it was, a year ago or whenever that was. And I assume you were there. Lots of folks were there. Lots of maps, videos, people answering questions, statistics. I mean, it was voluminous at that particular point. And then at some point, you folks started to pare it down. Let's start with the beginning. In other words, when did folks start to realize we really need a better road between Potter's Mills and Bowlesburg? I mean, give us some background of the history of this entire project, if you would.
Yeah, the original study started back in 98 as the South Central Center County Transportation Study. So we realized back then that something needed done. So this project's been around for some time. Okay. And I guess at some point in time, a few years after 98, we were at the a little before where we are now in this phase, the project was stopped, essentially.
Well, let's see, 1998, 2023, that's 25 years. Does it normally take, Eric, 25 years to get a road figured out? That seems like an awfully long time.
No, it normally doesn't take that long, but the funding ended up being pulled last time, so it there wasn't a continuous amount of work from 98 until 23.
All right, now explain what
picked back up in 2018 with, they called it like a SITS refresh, I guess, and we looked at the traffic again, and then in around 21, I guess, now 2021, we started again with this State College Area Connector study.
All right, now, Eric, explain that you mentioned the funding, and I remember it seemed like we were waiting forever and a day for some money to show up. Now, is this money from Harrisburg? Is this money from Washington? Is this money from gasoline taxes? I mean, where does the funding for this road come from? Where does it originate from?
The funding right now that we're using for this portion is from Harrisburg. But, I mean, if you want to have a funding conversation, we could go down a rabbit hole pretty quick.
Oh, we like rabbit holes. That's fine. I mean, does any of this come from Washington? Don't they have transportation funding?
They do, but that we're not using federal funding right now in this project. It's state funded.
Any reason for that?
That's a high-level planning question that I don't really have the answer to.
Okay.
I know it was brought back up. We were using 100% state funding because we had the funding available to start this back up. And there's a lot of people that realize that something needs done here. And we didn't want to wait until we could procure federal funding in order to do this. So we started it with state funding. We anticipate at some point in time in this project we're going to have federal funds.
Well, Eric, so, I mean, there are projects, obviously, out there that it's like, hey, we just want to make this improvement. It'll help with the traffic flow, help make things easier for, you know, citizens to get around, maybe cut down on some time if we put this road here or this connector there. But this one, right, for all of these 25 years and probably a good bit even before that, this is one of the more dangerous stretches of road in the entire state. Is that accurate? I mean, when you're looking at the accident figures, and it just seems, we had a stretch there where it just, it felt like it was monthly. I realize I don't think it was quite that, but where there were serious accidents. And obviously, you know, one of the issues is there's a lot of truck traffic that uses that route, along with, obviously, just a lot of locals, and then a lot of people coming through with their vehicles as well. And it's, again, not a big stretch of road, and on either side there are bigger roads. And so how dangerous is that? Do you have statistics with you on just how dangerous that stretch of road has been in this area? And again, to me, this should have been a priority just because of the real danger factor with this particular stretch.
Well, safety is one of the main three reasons why we're doing this project. It's part of the purpose and need in the Pell. And the three main reasons are safety, congestion, and system continuity. So, yeah, safety is definitely something that we were concerned about. On a statewide level, I can't speak on that level because we, as a district, don't go outside of our district and compare projects. We know we have this stretch of road, and I'm assuming that it's similar to what happened with the Lewistown Narrows 30 years ago.
Yeah. All right. Now, Eric, your nine counties, just the ones that you deal with, that stretch of road currently from Port Matilda, from Potter's Mills to Bowlesburg, is that maybe the most dangerous stretch of road in the area that you cover?
I'd have to look at the numbers. I know we have a lot of accidents on Interstate 80, too. Truck volumes on Interstate 80 are really high.
Yeah.
So between Interstate 80 and I-99, the truck volumes aren't as bad. So, I mean, I could look at the numbers and provide you with some data if you really want to know exactly where the worst spots are.
It's up there, though. I mean, the safety factor is very real with that stretch, regardless of exactly what the numbers show. And I guess what all goes into, I know you've had some public input, like how does this final decision get made? Who ultimately, what group or individual ultimately says, okay, we have all of the information, this is what we're doing, we're moving forward, this is the project. How does that, how do we get to that point?
Well, there's a big group involved with this. I mean, we have federal highways, we have us, we have Army Corps of Engineers, DEP, DCNR. We have every regulatory agency pretty much working as part of this project, and it's a collaborative effort. I don't think, if you're asking if there's one person that points at a map and says, this is what we're going to do because I want it, it doesn't happen that way in transportation planning. What we have to do is we have to look at all the resources, we have to look at all the alternatives, and we have to pick the one that is the best fit for the corridor. And I know that's the hardest part about this is no matter which way we go, we're impacting somebody's house or somebody's something. There's always something that's being impacted. It's making the choice the best for everybody based on the resources that are out there.
All right. Now, Eric, what about the local folks? And in this case, I'm thinking it's Harris Township and Potter Township. Do they have any say at all in the final decision and so on, or are they just sort of the bystanders?
Well, no, they've been involved in this whole process. We've gone to the municipalities with planning level stuff and showed them things prior to going to public meetings to get their input on everything that we've done. So we certainly take their input and include it into what we are doing with the roadways and what we plan on doing.
All right. Now, I mentioned I went to that open house in Center Hall, whenever that was, many, many months ago. And there was just, at that point, I don't know, a dozen routes. There were a ton of routes going in all different directions, east, west, north, south, and so on. Briefly, who came up with those? Where did all that information come from? Why those routes?
Well, the original routes were based on, so we have a resource map that the design team created. And when we originally started this process, those resources were all pulled from different agencies' websites. And you know, when you look at Fish and Boat Commission and then Game Commission and then you look at DEP and all the resources that they map, we pulled that all together and put it in one place. And then when the design team started looking at routes, they tried to put routes through there that impacted less of these resources. And I know I should probably say that too, because anybody listening is going to say, well, didn't you look at houses? Yes, houses were included on that. Those are a resource. So we looked at all that, and then they drew lines on these maps to try to get us from one end to the other. And I know everybody wants to look at what we're showing now and say, well, that's where the road's going to go. Well, it's still essentially a corridor. We are out in the field now doing the actual verification of resources. So, you know, we have teams out there going through the entire, and now that we have it narrowed down to three corridors, they're going through that entire area and verifying everything that's there that we told agencies that we were going to try to avoid to make sure that we are doing that.
All right, again, our guest is Eric Merniak from PennDOT. We're talking about the Route 322 project. Looks like a decision, hopefully sometime in the coming year. We're going to take a break right here. We'll come back. We have some more questions and things to talk about on this. Important for everybody here in our neighborhood. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we'll come back with more of our program after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox Ironhead.
In girls basketball last night, St. Joseph's improved to 6-0 with a 65-42 win over Juniata Valley. Tonight, St. Joe's will visit Newport. Also last night, Baltic Galeria fell to Huntington 50-20, and Penns Valley lost to undefeated Bishop Guilfoyle 61-45. For the second straight game, the Lady Lion basketball team topped the century mark in downing Central Connecticut State 101-73. Sophomore Shay Chesky scored 40 points to lead Penn State as the Lady Lions set a new school record with 15 three-pointers. With the win, Penn State improves to 9-3 on the season. The Nittany Lion basketball team returns to action tonight looking to even its record when it hosts Lemoyne in a 7 o'clock tip-off at the Jordan Center.
Happy Valley News. I'm A.J. Roberts reporting. A longtime legislator has announced that he will be seeking a 10th term to represent the area. State Representative Scott Conklin has represented the 77th House District, which includes parts of State College, Phillipsburg, and Port Matilda boroughs, and Ferguson, Half Moon, Houston, Patton, Rush, Taylor, and Worth Townships in the county. Conklin was first elected in 2006 to the seat and previously was a Center County Commissioner. A local journalist has been arrested in a sting operation in which he allegedly sent sexually explicit messages and attempted to arrange for meetings with an undercover FBI agent whom he believed to be a 14-year-old. 54-year-old Christopher Morelli of Pleasant Gap was charged with unlawful contact with a minor, sexual offenses, and criminal use of a communications facility. Morelli posted a $250,000 bail and has been suspended from his job as editor of the Center County Gazette. With this Happy Valley News update, I'm AJ Roberts.
A.J. Roberts!
The Fox Center Hall Farm Store has fantastic deals to help you save money all winter long on heating wood pellets. And for your shepherd, horses, and just about every other farm animal, Center Hall Farm Store has created its own perfect, unique mixture of feed, along with commercial feed of your choice. Center Hall Farm Store, 110 West Allison Street, Center Hall. CenterHallFarmStore.com. Center Hall Farm Store will be closed on Saturday morning, December 23rd, so their incredible staff can have a long weekend to celebrate Christmas.
Hi, this is Corey Comfort from Joel Comfort Toyota and State College. Are you looking for a dealership to call home? Joel Comfort Toyota is a locally owned family business that has been serving the community for over 45 years. Come see us and let us help you with your next vehicle experience. We're located at 120 East Clinton Avenue in State College, just behind the Waffle Shop on North Athens Street. Or visit us 24/7 at joelconfort.com. And remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
The title and tag service that is customer-friendly and locally owned is at Joel Confort Quality Pre-Owned in Pleasant Gap. And as part of the Joel Confort family of dealerships, Monica Prisk is experienced and has been serving customers for 13 years. Cameron Confort is on the title and tag team and is there to help you with all of your title and tag needs. Stop at Joel Confort Quality Pre-Owned at 475 East College Avenue in Pleasant Gap and have Monica or Cameron answer any of your title and tag questions. Remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
The Ocean State Job Lots Foxcast. Plenty of sunshine today. The high near 40, mainly clear and chilly tonight. Low temperature around 25.
Fox Forecast.
Tomorrow some sunshine. The high 40, increasing cloudiness on Saturday. And the high temperature around 40. This is WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys. 98.7 The Fox.
Oh, Christmas time. You guys all been good and practicing real hard.
It is Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. We will have a little open phone time in the final segment of this morning's show. Tomorrow, Mark Brennan with 247 Sports. Penn State will join us in the 9 o'clock hour and some open phone time as we get ready for the Christmas holiday. We will be off then until next Thursday. So shows obviously... We'll finish up today since we're here. Might as well finish up today's show, and then we'll do. I'll do a show tomorrow, and then again, we won't be back on the air till Thursday.
We have to finish today, really?
Well, I mean, as long as we're here, Eric's joined us on
Enough
the phone. It'd be rude to, end the show.
We're talking important stuff, all right? Again, we're joined by Eric Murniak, who is the Assistant District Executive for Design for PennDOT in our area, talking about the Route 322 project. Hopefully, we'll have some final decisions in the coming year. Now, Eric, if I'm correct, we're down to three, right? And you mentioned earlier, you mentioned corridor, because if I recall correctly, there's three choices left, and they're pretty close together. Am I right on that?
Yeah, they're pretty close together. And really, you look at the Bowlesburg side of that, all three of those corridors come down to the same point in Bowlesburg. So there's really not much difference from, like, Bear Meadows over to Bowlesburg. And then from there over to basically Potter's Mills, there's some variation on the direction and the side of 322. One goes on the south side, two go on the north side. And then over on the east side of the project, they all come back together at Potter's Mills Gap. And there's different variations on both ends. And I guess something to keep in mind is looking at those corridors is, resource verification is what we're looking at now to shift those around to make it miss the most resources and make the road make the most sense.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you choose? Is it the contour of the land? Is it, there's water here, there's no water here. I mean, I'm sure it's not a coin flip. I mean, how do you go deciding, okay, this is the one because of whatever? How do you pick that?
Yeah, it's a collaboration between all the agencies involved in the recommendation will come out of, you know, everybody looking at all those resources and everything involved in the entire area, and then we'll try to narrow it down. Well, we're going to narrow it down to one preferred alternative and then proceed into the next phase of this project.
Now, the so-called connector road to Route 45, is that still in the mix?
Yeah, the connector road is in the mix right now, and we're doing the verification for all the resources in there, too. And I know that's been a topic of a lot of contentious conversation over the last couple years. So we're hoping that, that as things move on, we can point one direction or the other and say, yeah, it has to stay, or yes, it can go. And that's part of this process.
All right, Eric, I'll be honest. This is Scott here. I'm not a fan. All right. For instance, that Center Hall event that I went to, that open house many months ago, whenever that was the connector road included in that, or did that suddenly show up at some point later? Because I don't remember the connector road at that Center Hall Fire Company event that I went to. Where'd that come from?
Well, it started out as a circle on a map saying we needed to have a potential connection here, and then it grew from there. So we've carried that along throughout the whole process. It just didn't look like a traditional interchange when this whole process started. And I think that's the hardest part about the way this Pell process works, is everybody is two steps ahead of where we are. And that's the hardest part in general, is everybody saying, well, why did you look at this way? We didn't actually look at some of that stuff yet, and that's where the refinements come in, and us verifying all the traffic data and saying, yeah or no, it does make sense. Because in the end, if it's not needed, we're certainly not going to build it.
I mean, if a whole, and I know this because you kind of intimated it a moment ago, there are a whole lot of people that don't like the connector road idea. And I'll be honest, Eric, I'm one of them. If somebody wants to get to 45, they'll drive to Bowlesburg, or they'll go back to the 144 Potter's Mills exit and go to 45 that way. I don't understand putting a road essentially right in the middle here when people could easily go to both ends to get to 45. This is Scott. I just don't get it. I don't understand why that road's there in the first place.
Yeah, and I certainly hope that's something that we can get through this year, so that one way or another we can say for sure, because I agree with you. It's just been something that's hanging out there that everybody wants to know. Like, the majority of the people will agree that, you know, 320, we need a road from Potter's Mills Gap to Bowlesburg. And at this point in time, it's down to, well, do we or do we don't need that connector? And that's part of what we're working on now. And I know you already mentioned public meetings, the one you went to last year. We are looking at having another one of them sometime here in early 24. Then hopefully we can have some more data and numbers around and some different mapping to either prove or disapprove that notion of having that connector.
Now, you mentioned earlier there are obviously landowners in that whole stretch, and some of them are my friends. I mean, I know some people that live in that zone, that area. So at some point, the decision's going to be made on this one. We're going to go with this one, which inevitably is going to take, I guess, property away from some people. Eric, how will that work? I mean, do they just take it? Do they get paid? I mean, how does any of that work?
Yeah, there's the property acquisition process is pretty in-depth, and, you know, we don't just go into somebody's property and say, well, we're taking your property. We go through the whole appraisal process, and we go through the whole process. If we're taking your house completely, there's a relocation process. We'll help you find a new house. We'll look at the all the other places in the area. It's an in-depth process on property, to the point where there's a publication we have out there, like, if we need your property, this is what's going to happen.
So could there be possibilities then, Eric, that some, either a landowner or a homeowner, I guess, they could literally, I mean, we're putting the road right here, and it pretty much takes out their entire property. I mean, is that possible? That could actually happen?
Oh, it's certainly a possibility, and it's one of those things that nobody wants to be the guy that says, oh, I have to take your property, because, I mean, I'm a homeowner, too, and, you know, it's one of those things where if it happens, it happens. And I mean, it's not that we do it all the time, but we do have projects randomly where there's a property that gets acquired, and we go through that whole process and relocating somebody. And it's an unfortunate part about this business. And I know that's hard. That's the hardest part about these public meetings, is you're always standing there talking to somebody that, you know, we show one of these alignments going right over top of their house, and you know, it's hard to not feel bad for them. But in the end, you know, we identified a need in this area that we need to, you know, reduce the congestion, improve the safety, and address the system continuity. And we have to get there somehow. There's no way you can go from one end to the other and not touch any property.
Now, if I'm the landowner or homeowner and I'm in the zone, I can just go to PennDOT or Harrisburg and say, sure, you can have my property. $5 million, please. That's what I want.
Oh,
I mean, is that the way it works?
Yeah, you can definitely make a counter offer, but our offers are based on, you know, the same thing that a real estate agent would do, is look at comparables and do the assessment of the property value based on everything else in the area.
All right, now the cynic in me, this is Scott, the cynic in me says, once you folks get to that part, you know, of this project, somebody's going to sue you, someone's going to get a lawyer, somebody's going to say, you can't do that to me. Are you folks kind of expecting that? And if so, how does that work out?
Yeah, that's a part of any project. There's always a chance for us to get sued. And that's the biggest reason why we don't want to rush this process, is, you know, we put together the design team for this, in an effort to say, hey, we're going to do this the way that we have to do it. We're going to make sure that all our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed, and make sure that if we do get sued, because it's always an if, that we did everything the way that we were supposed to do it, so that we don't lose. We don't want to lose a court battle based on something that we could have done better in design.
Eric, I'm just curious, when you have the public meetings, obviously you get a feel for whether or not, you know, there's general public consensus for one plan or another, or hey man, this is really going to be against the public will. But because there are so many experts, I mean, and people that really do understand the different elements of the job, do you guys ever come away from a public meeting going, wow, hadn't really thought about that, that was a great point? Does anybody bring up something that, like, you just as a group just had not thought of, or it's just, okay, they're amplifying something that was, you know, previously discussed by you guys internally?
It seems that every one of these public meetings, there's something that comes up, mostly resource-wise, where somebody will come in and say, hey, did you guys realize this was here? Or did you know this was here? Did you know this was over there? And that's the value portion of these public meetings, is, you know, we can send a team through your property and they're going to be there in a day, but somebody that's lived there and knows, well, hey, this happens here or this happens there. And then that whole entire area is a karst area, so there's sinkholes everywhere. And there's sinkhole mapping available, but there's always something that somebody goes, oh, look, this is here. Did you know about that? So the public meetings do definitely add value, and we look at all those comments and, you know, and take it into consideration of whether or not we want to do or don't do what some of these suggestions are.
I didn't even think about sinkholes.
Yeah.
Eric, in your experience in the zone that you work, you've encountered this before. You start working on a road and so on, poof, there's a hole. Uh-oh, now what do we do? You've encountered that before, I assume?
Center County, specifically in the limestone region. I mean, you look a couple miles east of there is Penn's Cave, and that's a giant hole in the ground. And that whole area, State College included, is sinkhole area. We definitely have to keep that in consideration. And there's mitigation processes that we do for sinkholes that we would definitely consider it, no matter where this road would go through there.
Now, folks, don't go wigging out about sinkholes, okay? Don't do that. Don't think, oh, no, there's a sinkhole underneath it. Probably not, but something to think about. Cost. Now, Eric, we've had interesting inflation the last couple of years, and even if you folks make a decision this coming year, I mean, first off, once the decision is made and, I don't know, the bulldozers start bulldozing or something, any idea how long it's going to take to do this project?
Well, Overall, we didn't look at the total duration of the contract, but we're hoping to begin construction sometime around 2028. And I think some of the mapping we have says completion like 2033. But we really didn't look at how we would even go about doing this project yet if we're going to do pieces, because you look back at Potter's Mills Gap. Potter's Mills Gap was actually done in three pieces. Lewistown Narrows was done in one piece through the Narrows, but the Lewistown side of it was done as a project before that. So that the actual construction scheduling and process hasn't really been looked at in depth yet, because we're still trying to narrow these corridors down to one.
Eric, seriously.
And I know the cost question was in there. So right now we're estimating somewhere between $450 and $500 million.
Seriously, Eric, 10 years? It might be 10 years till we finally see this finished road?
It could be. Unfortunately, this process is driven on the federal side with regulation. So, again, you go back to that question about being sued. If we jump to conclusions and start the process early, there's a larger likelihood of that happening.
All right, we've got about a little over a minute left. You kind of intimated on this. Give us some kind of a timeline, because we're crossing into 24 now. You mentioned maybe a public meetings, doing an open house again. Whatever you know right now, give us some kind of a timeline on what was hopefully going to occur during 2024 with this project. When and where, whatever you can tell us.
2024 is a lot of resource mapping and trying to narrow these three corridors down to one in an effort to recommend the preferred alternative to all the agencies in hopefully early 2025.
I mean, can somebody, I'm just thinking about regular people, not going to a meeting, we have to wait for those. Can they somehow weigh in with you folks, like, hey, do this, or hey, I've got some information, or hey, anything? Can a regular person, a citizen, a homeowner, a landowner, somehow give you some kind of feedback or information about the project?
Yeah, we have a website. It's the penndot.pa.gov/SCAC. There's everything that we've done. We put up on that website. The new mapping is updated on the website. The PEL's on the website. Contact information is on a website. There's a get involved contact thing on the website. So the website is really the best place to go. And technically, my contact information is on there also. So it's definitely public.
Eric, repeat that website address again, please.
It's penndot.pa.gov/SCAC.
SCAC.
Yep.
Okay, there we go. Eric, we really appreciate
it. And one of the things, I know you're in a hurry here, one of the things that I would recommend anybody look at on there's an environmental web map feature. And that environmental web map feature, especially if you have property in the corridor, you're interested in where different resources are in the corridor, everything that we have done is on that website. You can select different resources, turn them on and off, turn the corridors on and off. It's just been a great tool.
Got to take a break.
Talking on the phone or talking to anybody about it.
Eric, thank you. Thanks for your time.